Let's start with the kind of music you grew up listening to, Wallace.
Well, my father was a concert pianist. He taught music composition and theory at Bowling Green State University for 35 years. Our mother, Linda, was also a pianist, wonderful pianist. So we grew up listening to classical music pretty much. Now, we were exposed at an early age to fiddle music as well. And I remember my very first fiddle contest when I was 7 years old. And it was at the Wood County Fair in Northwest Ohio. And Dad brought us in, and I brought my mother with me onto the stage, and we played a Moto Perpetuo by Carl Bohm, B-O-H-M.
At a bluegrass
old-time fiddling contest. So we had no idea what we were doing. And it was a fast number. We figured, well, if we play a fast number, that'll qualify as being a fiddle tune. Well, it didn't. I didn't win. And when I came off the stage after I played, we played great. But I came off the stage, and this old-timer sitting down at the base of the stage said, come over here, son. I want to teach you a few things. And his name was Bob Lighty. He was a truck driver, an 18-wheeler truck driver. And he would play some fiddle licks, is what he would call them. And he'd say, now play that back for me. And I'd try to play it back for him. Because, well, you have a good ear. Now play this. And that's how I started learning fiddle music. And he handed me an album of his, and he said, now, next time I see you, I want at least three tunes memorized off this. And so I brought it home, and I played that thing over and over again, and I learned all of the tunes, all the fiddle tunes. And from that point on, that was my experience with fiddle music. So we had classical music and fiddle music intertwined the whole time growing up.
And so professionally now?
I am here in Philadelphia freelancing. I have been assistant concertmaster of Philly Pops several times. And
so you studied classical as a young adult, and you're working as a classical musician.
I work both. I work as a fiddle musician, session musician, recording session, and recording sessions, you never know what to expect, really, what style. They just say, you know, you're going to come in and sight read this music. You have no idea what it's going to be. And sometimes you come in and it's just charts with chord charts, and you're supposed to put in the notes over the chord chart. So I think in this day and age, you have to be versatile as a musician, not just, focused on one genre. I think economically it's advisable that you learn several different genres and how to get around and improv and be able to play several different styles and genres.
Don, why don't you give us a little background on the musical experience you had growing up and how you ended up where you are?
Well, my brother's Beatle records were a big influence, as well as my parents' Beethoven and Copland records. Those was what I listened to, Beatles, Beethoven, and Copland. That was my regular listening. And my mother was also a pianist and a singer, and so we did a lot of singing and playing around the piano pretty regularly, almost every night growing up. So a family music making is something that Wallace and I share.
So let's talk about how this band came to be.
Wow. I was involved in a film, Music from the Inside Out, a documentary film about music making that used the Philadelphia Orchestra members. And part of that process was figuring out what different people in the orchestra do off the stage as well as on the stage. Of course, we know what we do on the stage, but what are the interesting aspects of our lives that inform our music making? So when I went up to Jason and Zach, who had just joined the orchestra around then. I said, hey guys, your brothers, what do you guys do? And they said, you got to hear us when we're all together, all our four brothers. And I did. I went, and actually, I heard Jason and Zach sit in with Mark Cosgrove's band, Good Medicine, at a tavern in Chestnut Hill, and I was blown away. I've always loved bluegrass in a way growing up. I've listened to some of it, and And I just fell in love with their sounds that they were making.
Can you talk about this blend of bluegrass, classical, and rock? How does the classical music inform the other genres?
What I like to term it as grassical music, and that is the fusion of classical music with American grassroots music, not just bluegrass, but all different types of American grassroots music, be it jazz, be it old style fiddling, be it bluegrass fiddling. I mean, there's several different styles of fiddle music. There's Texas swing style. There's up in the Northeast, the Celtic style of fiddling that's popular, and then up in Canada. And so the grassical is a fusion of those two genres.
How much is written out and how much is improvised?
Well, we don't usually write anything down. We have, if there's a tune that we want to expand on, we're going to extract elements from classical over here, bluegrass over here, maybe a little of old time over here, and put it all into one and put it into even rock, even some jazz. We'll put it all into a single tune even and call it our own.
So what would that, give an example of that.
On our holiday CD, definitely you need to hear Good King Wenceslas, a perfect example of what you're asking. Linus and Lucy, even. I mean, we're playing the basic tune, and then all of a sudden we're going into a swing type of jazz version, section, and then after that, a downright bluegrass section.
Aside from enjoying it, and it sounds like something that's very enjoyable and fun to do, does it change the way you go back and play in other settings?
Maybe I can answer your question this way. If I have a very stressful, strictly classical concert I need to play or perform in, whether it's with the chamber group or even in an orchestra,
the Mozart
setting,
that you had to do, the Mozart.
Right, and I'm feeling nervous and I'm feeling stiff and I don't know what to do, I'll just, hey, you know what, I'm going to play a fiddle tune and just loosen up and just see. And man, 9 times out of 10 that works, and I've worked out all the nervous kinks and I'm ready to play classical.
When I'm playing timpani and I need to warm up, actually I do. I start on a padded seat so no one is being bombarded by timpani. I take my biggest sticks and I just started riffing, kind of rudimental riffs that I would do on a drum set, just to get my hands loose and relaxed and flowing. So it's a similar thing that Wallace is talking about.
You made a comment a few minutes ago that it was important to play different genres. Why do you say that?
There are many different aspects. Obviously, you know, there are a lot of orchestras across the country dealing with budget issues. So what's a classical musician to do if all of a sudden he or she no longer has an orchestra job? Well, my advice would be is find some recordings you like that in some other genres, listen to them and listen for the style and try to imitate what you hear and, you know, get a little group together and start playing it, whatever you want to play, at local clubs, banquets. You know, there are many different places where you can develop another way of playing your instrument.
Not to mention the fact that even in an orchestra, most orchestras, I mean, Philadelphia is a little unusual here, but even we in Philadelphia play Pops concerts. I mean, Wallace is playing actively with Philly Pops. When my years in Pittsburgh Symphony, my first 3 weeks, I played Kunga on Kunga drums for like a couple of Pops weeks. And then they said, well, why don't you be the drum set player for the next Pops series? So I ended up, you know, my non-quote classical upbringing, that part of my upbringing was vital to playing in the Pittsburgh Symphony at that time. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is true for most orchestras. You've got to have those chops to be able to swing, mm-hmm. to be able to play like a 100-piece big band sometimes when there's jazz arrangements.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.